This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Got that blockbuster coming up at 8:03 in the morning. You're also going to be talking to Jamil Ahmad Han right now, and he's of course the Vice President of Corporate Development and Market Research at Forex Time, or FXTM, right now.
All right, good morning, Jamil. So we've got oil prices stubbornly below $50 a barrel now, even as we head into the summer months when demand is seasonally higher. So what does that do for your outlook on commodity currencies, especially the ringgit?
Good morning, and thank you very much for having me once again, guys. Who would have thought that oil prices would have slumped into a bear market just 1 month after OPEC extended its production deal? I think it just goes to show how much OPEC have lost control of the market, if I'm being honest with you. But headed into commodity currencies, if I'm being honest with you, the slump in the price of oil has not hurt the commodity prices, commodity-linked currencies as much as you would have thought. I think part of the reason for this is that nobody was expecting it to hit a bear market, which seemed to be quite short-lived. Now, if the price of oil was to fall below $40, or even the resumption of selling accelerated somewhat over the next couple of weeks, this is when we would see a more of an impact on the commodity currencies and even emerging market currencies that have some sort of commodity influence.
Jamil, I'm going to put you on the spot here, and I'm going to localize this discussion in terms of where the ringgit sits. Now, we've gone from, I think, 4.27 to the US dollar to about 4.29, nearly 4.30 to the dollar. You say the commodity-linked currencies are not affected by the oil price route, but clearly with the ringgit it is. What other peripheral factors are behind the ringgit's decline, do you think?
Actually, the main factor in the ringgit decline has been the steady dollar demand over the past couple of weeks. This has followed the latest US interest rate rise. And there's some very positive language being used by the Federal Reserve, which is surprising a lot of people, including myself. Several Federal Reserve policymakers are very upbeat on the prospect of future interest rate rises. They seem to be very committed towards potentially more than one U.S. interest rate rise over the next 6 months. This isn't something that had been priced into the financial markets before. And if you look on the currency markets, the dollar strengthened steadily against the board, including against the Japanese yen. So I wouldn't say that the ringgit decline, which is pretty marginal, to be honest, from 4.27 to 4.29, has that much to do with the oil. It could be a factor, but mostly it's this upbeat language being used by the Federal Reserve and the pressure this can have on the emerging markets generally.
Now, Jamil, you're right, because very often from the commentary that we get on this show, you know, it's very much the Fed rate or Fed speak, you know, expectations of more Fed rate hikes that is driving the ringgit more so than what's happening in the commodity space. Yet, I'm looking at the Fed funds futures right now, and even in the best case scenario, at least over the next 6 months, that was the timeline that you used there. Markets are pricing in just a 46% chance of a rate hike by December. If you're looking at July's meeting, 0%, September 16%. So why do you think markets are a bit slow in catching on, despite us hearing so often that the Fed will be moving again before 2017 is over?
If I'm being honest with you, I think it's because the markets and even investors themselves are surprised by the upbeat language being used by the Fed. We have a central bank that have for many years and for a long time tried to calm the markets down and investors, saying we're going to be very slow and gradual towards U.S. interest rate rise. There was a very rhetoric tone that was used for a long time. But now all of a sudden this very optimistic and upbeat language has been used by the Federal Reserve, and it's going to take some time for the financial markets to get used to this. And Janet Yellen, the U.S. Federal Reserve Chair, is set to speak again later today, along with some other scheduled Fed policymakers. And I guess what the markets are looking for is more consistency and clarity from different members of the Federal Reserve, because obviously there's a lot of different voting members, that they really are committed towards raising interest rates. And once this is then complemented by U.S. data, such as the non-farm payroll report next Friday from the United States, how many jobs created in the U.S. economy, the Fed fund futures will slowly start pricing a move. Myself, I'm skeptical because the Fed have before been very rhetoric and very maintaining the same rhythm that it's going to be slow and gradual, but now they're showing a more upbeat tone.
Now, Jamil, let's try and make this local here. So we've got the 1MDB saga, you know, making the headlines yet again of late. You know, how much are the risks from 1MDB being manifested in current ringgit movements, or have they been fully priced in already, you think?
I would say with the situation that unfolded around 2 years ago in the summer of 2015, most of the 1MDB situation and also other factors as well were already priced into the ringgit. I think if we remember rightly, it had that huge slump against the dollar when it was around 370 and it went all the way past 4 and then hit more record lows following that. That's not just because of 1MDB. There are other factors in it as well, such as the Fed starting interest rate rises, the price of oil falling below $30. But it did have a factor. There's no doubt in that. And it did weigh on sentiment. I would say that on an international scale, the 1MDB headlines are not making that much of an impact towards investor confidence. As I say, people are focusing on the Fed and other factors. But of course, if you have any domestic political risk issues or any increase in domestic risk tensions when it comes to political risk, then it can weigh on investor sentiment.
Jamil, always a pleasure speaking to you. That was Jamil Ahmad, Vice President of Corporate Development and Market Research with Forex Time.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.